This is A Sustainable Mind, episode 83. Today we'll be speaking with Ben Hudgens. Ben is the co-founder of Novak Hair Studios, a zero-waste salon based in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. There is a ton of awesome info to take away from today's conversation, whether you are a business owner in an industry where it's not all that obvious how to adopt more sustainable practices into your business, or if you use health and beauty products, and most of us use some type of beauty product, and you just want to be more conscious about what's in those products and how it impacts our bodies and the planet. We did have a couple minor blips in the audio at the beginning of the conversation, but once we get into things, Ben has a ton of awesome information for us, and it was a really fun interview in general, so I hope you enjoy it. But before we get into that, I wanted to remind you that we are hosting our very first live event. Mass Eco Live is taking place this April 30th through May 2nd, 2021. Mass Eco Live will be 3 days of keynote speakers and panel discussions, and we'll also be having awesome workshops on things like how to make your own upcycled fashion pieces, how to make your own cleaning products from scratch at home, and also how to make kombucha, one of my favorite drinks. To get your free ticket, yes, the tickets are now completely free, head on over to masseco-live.com. There you will also be able to get more info on how you can participate as a leader in one of the sessions and sponsorship opportunities. See you there. Welcome to A Sustainable Mind, where we delve into the minds behind today's most impactful environmental campaigns, organizations, and startups, inspiring the environmental changemakers of tomorrow. I'm your host, Marjorie Alexander. Benjamin Novak Hudgens is the co-founder and CEO of Novak Hair Studios. As a nationally recognized hairstylist with over 18 years of industry experience, Hudgens uses his expertise to inspire Novak's 90-plus luxury solo artists in two unique locations throughout North Texas. His work has been displayed at New York Fashion Week, the Mercedes-Benz tent at Swim Week Miami, and on stages and classrooms across the U.S. He has been the preferred stylist of many contestants in a variety of pageant systems and the go-to beauty pro for high-profile and celebrity clients across the nation. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm so excited to get into this conversation. And I actually find myself in East Texas, specifically Dallas-Fort Worth area, quite frequently. So this will be a fun conversation for me.
Good old Texas.
So let's get started with talking about how nature, the environment, and sustainability played a role in your childhood growing up. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's kind of funny though, because so my namesake, Novak, is my middle name, and that's what I named my business, is actually my grandpa's first name. And he lived his life for the sustainability of bees. If there's any beekeepers out there, they can attest to how difficult that can be.
Yes.
But growing up with that kind of an environment where sustainability was just always a part of the conversation, it just was ornately what was around me, it was kind of always just a part of life. You know, like, I don't know that I grew up in an environment where I could say we were very mindful about single-use plastics and those types of things, but just the idea that we've got to do better by the world in order for the world to be able to do better by us.
Absolutely. And that's a fantastic way to grow up. And it's, I think these days, it's an awesome thing that a lot of parents are starting to get their children and their grandchildren into, you know, just thinking about on a daily basis, how do the choices that we make as individual people, households, families, communities, how do those choices impact not just people, but also our planet? So let's talk about how exactly you got into the hair industry. What did that look like exactly? And it's kind of interesting because I think you're probably the first in kind of this vertical that I have interviewed. I've never interviewed anyone that was a cosmetologist, a beautician, or anything, but I know for myself personally, I actually cut my hair almost 3 years ago now because I was having so many issues with well, I guess the ingredients that were in the hair products that I was using. I was having a lot of allergies. There was a lot of negative stuff in there that can really impact our bodies negatively. I was having a crazy amount of allergic reactions and wound up cutting my hair because of that. So I'm really looking forward to talking to you about not only how the ingredients in the hair products that we use can affect us and the planet, but also how that plays into the choices that you've made in founding and taking care of your business. So let's talk about your early career. What exactly did that look like?
Yeah, and honestly, to that, I hope to kind of, through this podcast, help expose kind of some of what is happening in the industry that's kind of led it to being to that. You know, your story, unfortunately, isn't one that's totally unique. You know, so many of us have kind of gone through that journey. But to rewind, you know, like essentially how I got my start in this industry, I joke way too often that it chose me. You know, I was really young, at the right age of 15, whenever I went to search for which cosmetology school I was going to be a part of. Mm-hmm. My best friend at the time, she's still my best friend, actually, her and I were talking about what it was that we needed in our industries that we were going to choose a career in. Like, what is it that we needed out of them? And for me, I'm a gay man. It was important for me to not live in a closet. I wanted to be able to be in an environment that would allow for me to be open about who I am and not have any kind of weird reservations about it or anything like that. It was important for me to be able to express my creativity and have that out there. It was important for me to choose something that forced me into like constant growth, because I needed some, if I'm not challenged, I have a tendency to get bored, and I know mm-hmm. that about myself. And so cosmetology essentially checked all those boxes. And it's funny because I didn't ever really think about being able to make a choice in cosmetology career because I didn't really grow up. I grew up in a very humble beginning. You know, going to the salon was really not a thing for us. My sister cut my hair 90% of the time, or my best friend's mom took us to, you know, just whatever salon to get me taken care of that way. But, you know, it just wasn't something that I really thought about. And for me too, I always felt like there was something in my life that was drawing me to be a change maker, to always kind of advocate for the things that I really believed in. And, you know, for me, it was like, well, how am I going to do that in this industry? And then as I started that journey into being a cosmetologist, and I went to school and I found my school and I started doing all of that, I started learning about some of the things that were happening in the beauty industry that really needed some light shed onto it. Which, again, I hope that we kind of touch base on all that today.
So, Ben, take us through some of the things that you were seeing as a hairstylist, the products you were working with, some of the disposable products that you were working with, both disposables as well as the actual, you know, liquid and cream products that you're using on different people's hair. At what point were you starting to see, the products aren't really, you know, necessarily great for my clients, and we're using a lot of disposables? At what point did you start to see that? And at what point did the switch kind of flip on, you know, maybe I should take this into my own hands and found my own company and do something about this?
It was a really slow process, I'm not going to lie. So whenever I started into my journey, so, you know, I'm 18 years in now, and my career has led me down so many different paths. So working with different manufacturers, and, you know, I was a platform artist for several years. And that gave me an opportunity to look into the corporation side of what's happening in our industry. And that was really when that light came on. You know, for the first, I would say probably nearly 10 years of my career, I was using stuff, but it was like I was just a part of the whole shuffle. Mm-hmm. I was kind of being lost into the idea of whatever the industry was kind of dictating. And it wasn't until that I started working for those corporations that I really saw why it was that I even got lost in that shuffle in the first place. So a lot of people don't realize that 92% of the professional beauty industry is owned by four major corporations today. So when you think about what that means that when you look at the market of the professional beauty industry and you look at the pie graph, the beauty industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. And mm-hmm. the professional aspect of it makes up less than 25% of that. So when you look at what's happening, they don't care about the quality of the ingredients necessarily. They're looking at that bottom line. They're saying, how can we make more money? And therefore, they're buying up all of these small brands that may start off as beautiful, ethical brands that not only are sustainable within the products that they're using and the ingredients that they're using, but also the way that they run their business and they treat their employees and they create balance within people's lives. You know, they may start off that way, but, you know, whenever this big dog comes in and they start buying up all these small ones, things really start changing. And, you know, I've been in the industry where I've even seen that happen within product lines that I was aligned with using in the salon. Something that once was an ethical brand, you know, they get so caught up into that, into selling their company that before you know it, you have a totally different line and you're wondering why the products that you're using have changed. So being exposed into that backside of that really is what really opened the door in the first place to see what was actually happening.
That's so fascinating. And actually, you know, my background is actually in filmmaking. However, I was doing a lot of industrial filmmaking and recording actually training sessions of hair products. And so this is something I've kind of seen in terms of the contracts that are written by larger companies in order to get their products into certain stores and used by professionals that work with a larger, you know, styling company that has locations all across the country. Let's talk about exactly how those companies work, because I really feel like the ingredients of hair care products depends largely on the company at the top. And I guess there are other industries that have byproducts, for instance, petroleum products, maybe animal products. There are a lot of animal products in some hair care items. What exactly does that look like? Because I'm really looking, you know, from the outside in, and so are most of our listeners. So how exactly do the ingredients get chosen to be in these hair care products, especially if it's something that is like weird? Why exactly is that necessary in a hair care product? And then let's talk about the impact of that on the body.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of us don't really think about the fact that our skin is the largest organ in our body, and it absorbs everything that touches it. So first, let's talk about why it's important that we even choose. You know, you think, well, it's my hair. Does my hair really need this shampoo that is going to make a difference in, you know, the health of my body? Well, 100% absolutely it is, because it's connected to your dermis, and your dermis is going to absorb the chemicals that essentially wash over it. You know, a lot of what ends up happening within these beauty brands is they use cheap, inexpensive fillers to try to increase their, you know, what they're able to make, their profit margins off of the products that they use. So, you know, a lot of times, so say, for example, again, the shifting philosophy of a company that sells its brand, well, so you may use a product back in the day that you loved and you read the ingredients and you felt like the ingredients were suitable for you. And then whenever it was then purchased, those corporations may end up choosing to switch out some of the ingredients that are more expensive in there for cheaper alternatives that a lot of times are chemical byproducts. So when you look at like the cleansers that are found in a lot of, you know, I call them beauty brand shampoos, you know, those types of beauty brands, those shampoos are the cleansers are the same cleansers that you find in Floor Stripper.
Wow.
You know, and then the conditioners a lot of times are left over from the oil refining business and all of that. And then we're just coating that on our body. So, you know, and it is difficult because unless you know how, you know, and most of us do not have a biology degree in chemical anything. And so looking at the back of a shampoo bottle can be overwhelming. So you have to almost, in a sense, trust the brand that you're using, so to speak. And so for me, what that looked like is working with smaller, more boutique style brands who really do care about the welfare of what it is and have transparency in that.
Okay. And let's also talk about, because one thing that I was really excited to read about when I went to your website was that Novak Studios is, if I'm correct, the first zero waste hair studio in Texas or in just the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
Yeah, in the greater Fort Worth area, we were one of the first. I am happy to say that there are now others around us, which is making me really excited that people are really noticing and they're taking action around that. We are also one of the largest in the United States, which is super exciting as well. So a lot of people, because what does that even look like? Zero waste hair salon. I think
Yeah,
that
exactly.
like, what does that even mean? So a lot of people don't really think about the type of waste that comes out of a beauty salon. I don't have the figures right in front of me, but the numbers are astronomical about how much waste goes into a landfill just from beauty salons alone. And the truth is that 95% of that can be diverted from the landfill. So, and repurposed for things that are really incredible. Stuff like human hair, for example. You get your ends trimmed or just your locks cut, and traditionally that goes into a landfill, which is not necessarily a bad thing, right? It's an organic compound. A lot of people use it in gardening and those types of things. It's great for keeping insects away, a lot of those types of things. However, you can repurpose it and reuse it for other things in mass volume. So, for example, one of the biggest things they're doing with hair now is they're actually making bioplastics. So, imagine a
Oh,
recycling
wow.
bin made out of recycled human hair. Which is pretty cool. I'm
I've
like
never
told,
heard of that. That's super fascinating. Wow.
and then even stuff like, I think the thing that most people who do understand sustainable salons, one of the things that a lot of people automatically think of when they think of the hair is how it is used to clean up oil spills. Hair naturally is absorbent, which means that it soaks up oil but removes water. It does it for us every single day. And so it's actually a great source for using to clean up in like local waterways, especially. They can create hair mats with the hair or hair booms, and they actually can put them on the drains around the city, and they will soak up any kind of like motor oil from cars that's kind of just dropped off, from normal everyday driving, and collect it before it ever even gets to the rivers, which inevitably get to the oceans. So, it's used for a lot of different things like that. But to me, one of the craziest things that we don't think about, because when we think about like sustainability within like items, we think about plastics and stuff like that. But hair foils, tubes of color, those things are made out of aluminum. And so once those chemicals are all over them, they can't be put into standard recycling. So through our strategic partnership, we're actually able to take stuff like foils. They are able to melt them down and create clean energy from them. So first, they essentially goes through this whole incineration process. I'm going to nerd out on you for a minute, so
No
bear with
problem. I
me.
love
It goes through this process of incineration. It melts it down, which that's controversial in the fact that is that really clean energy or not. But the most important part about that is that it then makes the aluminum foil reusable. So now something that would have just gone into
Wow.
a landfill that would have sit there for, up to 400 years now is able to be reused for making bicycles or non-surgical aluminums, basically. So like air conditioning vents, those types of things, which to me is magical when you think about, like, I remember early on in my career, the first time I did a full head of highlights, like there had to have been 250 foils on
Oh my
that
gosh.
head of hair. And to look at all of that foil and to think that that one highlight is going to be sitting in a landfill for your grandkids, 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 grandkids is insanity.
Yes.
That we're not really thinking about like how those simple impacts within a business, how they can make such an impact in the world around us. So for us, within Novac Hair Studios, it was about like trying to find solutions to those types of problems that just felt seamless, right? Like it shouldn't feel like you're doing anything different. It should just be a part of it. And I think that that's one of the mistakes that a lot of people make whenever when they're thinking about sustainability is they think this is like super crunchy. It's going to be ultra granola. You better wear your yoga pants because they're going to stop us in the middle. We're all going to do yoga. But like really, sustainability isn't just that.
Yes.
Sustainability should be a part of the fabric of just normal everyday life. Like really making it where, oh, that's cool. We're reaching this new audience. They now know that all of the highlights and haircuts and all of those types of things were once damaging the planet. But now they know better, and it's just a part of it. It doesn't even feel any different.
And you yourself, I mean, are seeing kind of this circular ecosystem happening because you actually have a ranch. You have chickens and ducks and bees and cows. And my family also has cows in East Texas. So again, super excited to have this conversation. I totally love it. But you know, foil is one of those things that they're like, well, if it's soiled foil, you know, we can't recycle that. So it's really good for me to hear that there are not raw materials, but almost raw materials that we use on an everyday basis. But the recycling center is saying, well, you can't recycle it because this. Obviously, there are processes out there that can handle these things. It's just, you know, is a local facility correctly, you know, do they actually have the capability to do that? Are they telling their residents, yes, put it in, you know, this bin or in a separate bag or whatever. So it's actually really nice for me to hear that there are ways for, you know, consumers and residents to actually give these things over to a proper facility to handle that stuff, but that people are actually actively doing that, even if our local facility is not. So that's really, really good to hear. And then I think of things like, and actually with highlights, which I've never gotten, but I mean, I've seen it done when I'm, you know, at the hair studio getting my own hair done, is like the little plastic containers. Are those something, the stuff that the containers that hold the dye or whatever, are those things something that is reused, or do you send that off to a recycling center? How do things like that get processed? Or like gloves, you know, nylon gloves you guys use on a regular basis. What are some other disposables, quote unquote disposables, that you're turning from disposable into, you know, renewed products because you're donating it or giving it to a certain facility that handles these things?
Yeah, so there are a lot of single-use items in general in the beauty industry, and you know, largely because of sanitation and stuff like that. But the cool thing with plastics is that depending on your area and where you're located and how your recycling plant does handle those, most of the plastics can be sent off just through standard recycling, as long as you just do your standard like washing them out, getting them ready type of thing. Most standard recycling centers can handle that. There are actually websites that you can visit that will help you make sure that your area is capable of handling that. And if they're not, the cool thing is that so one of the largest recycling partners in the United States and through Canada, and I think now even in Europe, is Green Circle Salons. And with Green Circle Salons, you can actually even if your area doesn't provide recycling for those types of plastics, you can actually send them off with your Green Circle shipments, and it goes directly to there, and then they're able to process them and handle them in a proper way. And then gloves, I think gloves is a huge thing, and you know we all are so sick and tired of hearing the dreaded C word, but COVID has introduced the use of a lot of single-use items, specifically masks and any kind of that protective type of gear. And gloves now for hairdressers, where we used to just use it for color and we didn't really think of it as a protective item, now is considered a protective item. And so one of the cool things that we're able to do is that same idea of the waste to energy, where we actually collect all of our gloves, single-use items like such as like wax strips or you know any of those types of things, masks, gloves, wax strips, single-use plastics like if you had your hair in a plastic cap, those types of things, those can be sent off with a waste to energy program. So what they do is they essentially go through that same incineration process that we did with foil, but it's going to create clean energy that way.
It's awesome.
Another big one that we don't think about is like so hair color leftover byproduct.
Yes.
So you say you get your hair colored and the stylist mixes too much lightener or too much color. Traditionally, the response to that has been one of two things. Either you rinse it down the drain and it goes into your city recy you know your city water center where they try their hardest to try to clean it out, or the most responsible stylists up until date have been putting it into a trash can, which then goes into a landfill, you know, that goes through that whole process. But again, with partnerships like Green Circle, it allows for us to take those byproduct now, and instead of it going down the drain and going to our drinking water that we inevitably will drink, We can send it off with Green Circle. They actually spin it. They take the potable drinkable water and separate it from the chemicals, and can dispose of the chemicals in a hazmatic way and make the water drinkable,
Amazing.
which is really awesome. And especially when you look at technologies, because technology is a huge part of hair color. We love the use of non-ammoniated colors, and we love the use of nanotechnology, which makes non-ammoniated colors as successful as ammoniated colors once were. But those nanotechnologies, the molecules are so small that your standard recycling, a lot of times that stuff will seep right through. It's not able to really purify it all
Right.
out. So the idea of being able to remove a majority of just the excess from being in water is a huge, huge deal.
Thank you so much for all that information. You totally geeked out and I totally love it. I love the science behind stuff. I love hearing about new technologies that are coming along or just embracing old technology that's kind of helping us take care of this problem that we've been creating for decades. And, I'm the first to say I have spent a lot of time at a lot of salons in my life, as a black woman with straightened hair up to, gosh, post college, I was getting a relaxer. And of course, now I'm a lot more cognizant of the impact that that has not only on the environment, but on my own body. And then I kind of switched over to, just getting it straightened because I didn't want all the chemicals. But yeah, I mean, it's really good to hear about this stuff because I think when it comes to like our impact on the environment as individuals, we often think, okay, well, I'm going to switch from, disposables and single-use stuff from, the plastic bags at the grocery store and, trying to get my butcher to put stuff into Tupperware or some sort of, reusable container that I bring from home, which of course a lot of them won't allow you to do, especially now with COVID. Making sure that your water containers and your coffee containers are reusable and all of that stuff. But then there are services that we utilize, and those service centers or a salon in your case, they're having their own issues with servicing all of their clients and all of the waste, quote unquote, waste that's disposed of because of that. So it's nice to really give people a much larger view of the impact that everything they do really has. And clearly you've done your research and like we mentioned in your bio, you have over 18 years of experience. So it's really great to see people doing this work in all sorts of industries. I want to talk a little bit about the entrepreneurial side before we go general, because I know that there are a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to this show. And, after hearing your story and the impacts of, the hair care industry, they're like, well, wait a second, maybe there's a way that I can, kind of green my business or make my business more sustainable or less impactful on the planet. And it's getting their wheels kind of turning. But I do want to ask about your specific experience in North Texas. Did you receive any sort of pushback from clients or, in the purchasing of products? You said you worked with more boutique kind of providers of the individual products that you were buying to make sure that, all of that stuff is sourced correctly and, that it's not so bad for our bodies. What was really the response when Novac Studios was first getting started and then as you've grown more sustainable over the years?
Texas is definitely known for excess, right? I mean, like, and not to throw anybody under the bus, I have lots of friends who are entrepreneurs, and it's been really interesting because the response has been very like one side or the other. Whenever I was first starting, it was funny because the conversation that started was with a friend of mine who owns a major manufacturing company. They are housed out of Texas. And when I told him about our sustainable missions, he was like, "Why would you do that? That is going to cost you so much money. You're never going to recover that." That kind of a conversation. And for me, that conversation was one that will always, I think, stick with me for the fact that to me, it was the right thing to do. Like sometimes you have to do the most ethical thing. Think of it as business tax, the things that you have to do, you do them. And I knew that when building a sustainable business, sustainability meant that my business is here for long term. And when you do the right things for the long haul, things will always pay off. And they have in our business. The amount of response that we have received from clients is huge. But one of the things that a lot of people don't think about when they think about sustainability, and especially creating a sustainable workplace for people, is about the sustainable lifestyle. It is unfair to ask anybody to, ourselves included, to work 60-hour weeks and have no balance. You're no longer working to be able to provide for the people in your lives that really matter outside of those walls. But you start getting so caught up into the hustle and bustle, and especially us as entrepreneurs, that we forget that we need to have that balance in our life. We need to be able to be the friend that we want to be. We want to be the moms or the parents that we want to be. We want to be, we want to be outside of those walls. And it's sustainability for me is so much more about that. It's about paying people in ethical ways. It's about trying to be ethical in every single sense of the way that your business will support. And it's been really cool because we with our second location are experiencing something that is so different than our first location. So our first location is in Fort Worth, which is a very large city. Fort Worth, for those of you who do not know what a blue zone is, blue zones are about like sustainable living, sustainable lifestyles, being responsible in the way that we live our lives and being active and those types of things. So Fort Worth is actually a certified blue zone.
Oh,
And
wow.
so it was kind of one of those things that like, oh great, cool, this is a sustainable business, and lots of other businesses have kind of gotten onto that bandwagon. And so it's been a really cool process of being just a part of a sustainable business group where other people are doing lots of sustainable things as well. And consumers are a little bit more apt to understanding what that is. And although it may inform them more, it's become a part of the life that we've kind of created in our Fort Worth area. Well, now here we are 6 months in to our second location in a smaller community. Burleson is a little bit more blue collar. It's a lot more working class. And one of the things that we were unexpected with whenever we opened there was for people to be so into the idea of sustainability. And the response has been incredible. Like people have learned so much, and they have cared so much about being able to make more sustainable decisions within their business. I mean, or within the way that they spend their money. It's just been incredible.
So let's, and I mean, you already went there, making this more general and really how any business owner can have a positive impact on their community and definitely rethinking some of the physical products that they may have in their space to make their company more sustainable. For anyone that's listening that may be just starting out on their entrepreneurial journey, do you have any suggestions for them of how to make their business more sustainable from the start to kind of get them off on the right foot and do things correctly from the beginning?
Absolutely. So I can say as a generalization, the simple things end up making the biggest difference. The things that we think, oh, this is really going to matter. But so if you're starting your business from the very beginning, doing simple things like water fixtures that are low water. We were just awarded from our city, a whole initiative on our water conservation, which included simple things like water bottle fill-up stations. Like encouraging people to make shifts in their normal everyday life just by it being there for them. If we make it easy for them to bring their refillable water and refill it at the station, then they're more likely to bring that around with them instead of purchasing bottled water as they're out. Simple things like the light bulbs that we use. So making sure that you're using LED lighting, minimizing the amount of heat load that you're putting off from your business. Those types of things. We use motion detection in every single space throughout our locations to minimize the amount of lights just running with nobody really utilizing them. I think that that's a really easy change to be able to make even in an existing business. Recycling centers, like when you put your trash receptacles out, you want to try to place them in a way that challenges people's like status quo. So instead of just saying, oh, I've got something in my hand, I no longer need it, I'm going to put it in the trash, we made our trash cans much smaller. They are labeled landfill. So they make you think about where that is going to go.
Yes.
And then we make the recycling really large and do like little quick little pictures on what is it that goes into recycling. And so little things like that kind of just bring it into being mindful. And I think that the key with this is that you're wanting to, when you're making choices within your business to help promote sustainability, you're really influencing change by creating, making it easy for them in their everyday lives to be sustainable. You know, so think about, like you said, you know, with your butcher, you know, wanting to be able to bring your own container. Well, if your butcher marketed towards that, how much more business would that bring them if they were like, bring your own container and you're going to save X amount of plastics from entering in the ocean? You know, that becomes a sustainable practice for the butcher, and it makes your life more easy because you know that you're going to be able to go somewhere and they're going to help promote a lifestyle that you want to live and you want to be more cognizant. And if you're not, so say you're not bringing your own containers already to the butcher. Well, now this has encouraged you. Yeah. I mean, it's encouraged you now to bring it next time. So even if you haven't, it hasn't mattered to you before, it may start mattering to you now because now you're just aware of it. So just bringing awareness to all the different things that you can make changes in. Going paperless was another really big one for us. And I think that that's an easy one to do. We do everything digitally via DocuSign or Google Docs or whatever. We're able to do everything as digital as possible, so that we're minimizing the amount of paper that we're just printing and trees that we're cutting down and, you know, those types of things. So there's lots of those little tiny things that you can do, but even more so if you're starting from the beginning, creating ethical stances within work-life balance. Hands down, 100% the most important part of any business is creating work-life balance. You do not want your employees so exhausted that at the end of the day, they don't even know why they're coming to work. You want to create an environment where they can really be who they want to be outside those walls. That's the most important part.
Excellent. That's all fantastic advice. And before we jump into our 7 sustainable questions, I wanted to shout you guys out and tell people where to find you. You can check out Ben and his studios at novakhairstudios.com. That's N-O-V-A-K. hairstudios.com. And like Ben said, there are 2 locations, one in Fort Worth and one in, how do I pronounce the town?
Burleson.
Okay. I'm not even going to try to repronounce it.
If you get confused, the home of Kelly Clarkson, that's where everybody around here knows
okay.
it
as. Very cool. So you can find them on both Facebook and Instagram. You can check out their website. They've got their mission listed there. You can also book them, learn a little bit about the company, and also shop. They've got some great hair care products listed there for purchase. So Ben, let's jump into our 7 sustainable questions. And the first of those is, do you have one long-standing habit that you believe has significantly improved your life that you can share with us?
Yes, it is definitely turning my phone off. Disconnect. Spend some time thinking. I think that we are such an overconnected community that like we forget that it's okay to have you time.
Yes.
Even if you are a business owner, you're so afraid to turn that phone off because the sky may fall, the building's going to burn down. And well, guess what? If all those things happen, it's going to happen anyways. So turn your phone off and enjoy your life.
Right. I love it. I love it. I love it. Do you have a new habit in your life that you're cultivating right now?
I do. I am actually in the process. So I have still been using plastic Tupperware, and I am finally making the switch to going all glass in my kitchen. And I'm so excited to be like relieving even more like single use plastics from the kitchen.
Excellent. And while we're still on the topic of habits, do you have any suggestions for sustainable minds out there when they're looking at their actual hair products and beauty products in general, you know, turning that package around and looking at the ingredients? what are some general things that we can keep in mind so that, you know, that conversation that we were having earlier about, you know, your skin being your largest organ, making sure that the things that we put on and in our bodies are actually okay for us to actually do that and the impact that it's going to have on us. What are some things that we should keep in mind when we are, you know, for items that we already have, and then when we're also in the store purchasing new items?
I think the biggest advice is to not allow for people to greenwash you. Mm. I think it's so easy to get caught up into the natural this or the green that or those types of things. And I think we get bought into pretty packaging really easy, myself included. And I think that it's important for us to really look on the back, to really even understand who the brand is, like what mm-hmm. is the company. And do a little bit of those research before you buy. It's kind of like the idea of like you go to the grocery store and you're hungry and you have no idea what you're going to do for dinner. You're going to end up buying all the wrong things.
Yeah.
But if you do a little bit of research before you go in to buy, it makes it much easier to make the right choice the right way from the very beginning. So taking the time to do a little bit of research about what it is that you're buying, who you want to fill your pantry with and where you want to put your money. For me, that's one of the reasons that I chose to work with Euphora exclusively in my salon, because they are a like-minded company. I know that more than just the products being sustainably driven or sustainably sourced and all of those types of things and naturally derived and using science when science makes more sense on an ethical standpoint, but using nature when nature makes more sense on an ethical standpoint. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a huge part of it, but I also needed to make sure that I was working with a company that had responsibility within their ethics, within the way that they treat their employees, with the way that they source their ingredients. Like, for example, a really commonly used shine agent that is found in a lot of products is kind of the equivalency of blood diamonds. They are utilizing situations in children overseas that are very, very harmful. Not only is the product bad for you, but it's literally killing them. Wow. And so knowing that I'm working with a company that chooses those things over higher profits, I think is important. And you don't know that until you've done the research on the company. Who are they?
Right. Right. And yeah, I mean, when it comes to things like that, hair care and healthcare products, I'm just like, well, I might as well just research a general company and then buy from them, because 100%. It's so difficult to be, you know, buying 20 different products from 20 different companies and having to do all of this research where you can really just research a few companies and buy specifically from them because you like what they're about. You know that they're doing right by their customers and also the places where they're sourcing their ingredients, whatever those happen to be, and are also doing right by the people that work in those facilities. I think that that's super important to do.
Yeah. And I can promise you this, when you go to those companies, when you go to their websites, if they are doing those things, they're going to let you know about it. So it doesn't take much digging to find out if they're a good company. They're going to let you know.
So Ben, you are doing wonderful work in your community and in the hair care industry in general. Let's now talk about whose environmental work you admire, whether it is hair care related or beauty related or something else. Can you tell us whose work you admire?
Okay, so this is super cheesy, but you'll have to bear with me. It's the local farmers.
Yeah.
It is, to me, like the most underlooked thing that we don't really think about, like the struggle that these farmers. So I'm in Texas. We just had a record-breaking cold season where we've lost way too many lives because of all sorts of things that I won't go into on that. I won't go down that spiral. But those farmers, I can't not think about the fact that what they are having to do to just try to put sustainably grown vegetables and fruits and proteins and all of that on our plates. And we don't ever think twice about them. We just keep going to the store. We don't think about all the hard work, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the sleepless nights. To me, those are the real MVPs.
Wow. Thank you for mentioning that. And When this episode is released, I will have released prior to that exactly, you know, why this kind of, you know, Texas tragedy has happened, not why it's happened. I mean, we know why it's happened. It's called climate change. But but there are so many, you know, volatile systems out there, you know, water, energy, that when these dramatic climate events happen in areas that aren't used to that, they're dealing with a whole host of new challenges that they never thought that they would have to face. And it happens overnight. And there are tons of people's lives that are absolutely just devastated. So there will be an episode that I'll, after recording this one, but before it comes out, that I'll be releasing on the Texas power grid and how that, you know, may be able to be prevented moving forward. But thank you for bringing that up. That's definitely something that I know is on your mind. We had to push this interview back, and, you know, I've been keeping in touch with my Texas family and our cows and how they're doing. things are definitely difficult down there for a lot of folks.
Yeah, they were.
What is one internet resource that you find helpful on a regular basis that you think would be beneficial to share with our listeners?
I think that, so growing up in Texas in smaller communities, I think that having a window into a world that was bigger than the world that I knew was really important. And I think that in today's market, podcasts and video platforms, I think are two of the biggest resources that we should be utilizing more to give us those windows into what the world really looks like beyond it. Like beyond our small little box. Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk more specifically about that. Do you have a book, an audiobook, or a specific podcast that you would recommend to sustainable minds out there that are hoping to shift their mindset specifically to become the change that they want to see in the world?
Honestly, yours is one of the, I feel like, not to toot your own horn, but.
No, thank you. Somebody toot my horn. No, I'm kidding.
But you know, I think that your podcast does a really great job at showing different levels of what sustainable living means. So yeah, that's definitely one of my biggest go-to resources. I don't know that I necessarily have one particular place. I think that there are so many little tiny bite-sized pieces that I've collected over the years that are from so many different places. You know, and even just conversations, like having tough conversations with people who are experiencing certain things. You know, I look at the truly biggest influencer in my life. Like if I were to really say like, what was the one biggest influence? And it was my granddad, you know, and being a beekeeper and like seeing his struggle with total colony collapse because his neighbors decided to start using a new pesticide. And those are insights that I would have never had. Had not having conversations with people like my grandpa who are in there firsthand. You know, I think it's easier for us to connect with people and then really connect with what they're saying, even more so than, you know, sometimes even the videos and podcasts that we listen to. So, you know, on the other hand, there's also that. I think that that's another great resource that I consistently go to is neighbors, people around you who are experiencing things.
Yeah.
And then connecting that with those little tidbits that you maybe get from a video that you've watched here or there, or a podcast that you listen to once, or, you know, those types of things.
Fantastic. And that actually reminds me, you know, if you're interested in making your life more sustainable and you don't exactly know where to start, well, just go to the things that you love. You know, if you're into fashion, type in sustainable fashion into, you know, into your podcast platform or into YouTube, see what pops up, see what's of interest, click on it and listen or watch. There are a lot of different things that you can get into, things that you're already interested in, and then how to make that part of your life a lot more eco-friendly. So Ben, I want to end this interview on a fun note, and you and your husband own a ranch. Let me see if I can bring up the name of the ranch. I don't have it in front of me here. Where is it? Hudgens Honeybee Ranch. And you have chickens and ducks and bees and cows. I hate to ask this question, but what are some of your favorites?
Okay. So I never thought that I would love chickens the way that I do, but those chickens are my life.
Why?
They are so much fun to just watch, and they have like craziest little personalities. So the only thing that we actually eat from our ranch are the eggs and the honey. And so you really start bonding and connecting with these animals in a lot of ways, and it's really interesting to watch those little chickens' personalities, and they run around. It's like watching a bunch of little pterodactyls.
That's fantastic.
You can really see like how connected to dinosaurs they are. It's so funny.
Oh man, that's so hilarious. Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining us again. You can check out Novak Hair Studios at novakhairstudios.com. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram. Check out their website, look at their press, look at their mission, what they're all about. And if you're interested in buying some Euphora beauty products, you can purchase them on that site as well. Thank you so much again, Ben, for joining us. Do you have any parting words or pieces of guidance to give sustainable minds out there?
No task is too small. Like, just take your first step into making a more sustainable future for your life. You will be rewarded for it.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you want to learn more about Ben and Novak Hair Studios, head on over to novakstudios.com. Or you can get this link and all of our resources mentioned in today's episode. Or you can get this link as well as all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at asustainablemind.com/083. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on A Sustainable Mind.